how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
Anti-aircraft guns went into action against unidentified aircraft in the Los Angeles area shortly after 3 a.m. Pacific wartime this morning.
We are far stronger than we were 10 weeks ago. General
quarters, all hands men your battle stations.
If you're nervous, count your toes. I'll do the mastermind around here.
Those who have not seen it do not know what hell looks like from the top.
Bam! Check it out every Tuesday and Saturday on Revolution Radio. It's a double dose of the internationally recognized renegade military historian, Douglas Dietrich.
You'll stay right where you are till I tell you to move out.
Yeah, that's right. Tuesdays from 10 to midnight Eastern Time, join Douglas Dietrich as he exposes the truth in hidden history on his show Critical Omissions. And then our human weapon of mass destruction is back once again to take your calls on Saturday night firing lines. Both from 10 to 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Where did he come from?
We're out of here.
Warning. Warning.
How come I know so? What the hell is going on around here? Who the hell are you people?
Jones, do you realize what the art is? It's a transmitter. It's a radio for speaking to God.
Perhaps we need some outside universal threat to make us recognize this common bond. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world.
If anything should happen to me, you must go to Gort. You must say these words. Klaatu, Varada, Nikto. Please repeat that.
My God is full of stars.
The prisoner wishes to say a word.
Sea to sea, from planet to planet, and star to shining star. Your frequency is ascending with your host, Sean David.
You are
And from sea to sea, from planet to planet, star to shining star, just like the man said, welcome. It is I, the Sean, on Strange Universe Radio, on the number one radio network in the world, on the internet, that is, out of 10,000 radio stations. We are the number one talk network on the planet. We are fulfilling our goal of working for the enlightenment of all sentient beings, working for the uplifting, enlightenment, and ascension for all humanity. And, of course, doing all that with style and a smile. Bringing you the truth 5 days a week from 3 to 5 Pacific Daylight Time. Because your frequency is ascending. Revolution-radio.com, revolutiontalkradio.com, revolutionradio.tv, revolution, yeah, okay, and freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps, but it occasionally passes out from too much anesthetic. Brings you Strange Universe. That's right, the show that's the pinnacle of 16.4 billion years of evolution. With me, your host, the Sean. Who's your buddy? Who's your pal? There we go. Yes, we are propofol radio, guaranteed to put you in a coma from which you'll probably never wake up. But that's just my program. Yeah, I know. All right, there it is. We have a lot to cover today on Monday, Moon Day. First off, happy full moon to everybody. It is a, yep, it's a full moon in, yeah, it's got to be, let me see. Yeah, it's a full moon. It's a harvest moon, actually. Here we go. It's a full moon in Pisces. Yeah, a full moon in Pisces. Oh, my goodness. That's pretty cool. Your psychic powers should be completely amplified on what's called this harvest moon. So take a look on the horizon. It's at 6:38 p.m. is the harvest moon. It's also the birth date of Claude Pepper and Patsy Cline. You know who that is. So it's a, yeah, it's a full moon in Pisces. Ooh, my goodness. Full moon in Pisces. Well, I have Pisces rising, so I should be particularly charming today. And we have a lot to go through. So first off, I wanted to comment that I sent a rather panicked text to my mighty 43 listeners. We are small, but we're mighty on Strange Universe. And we, and by the way, we're the number one talk radio show on the internet with only 43 people listening. So that gives you an idea of everybody else out on the web. All right. Some real panic set in this weekend. Behind the scenes in, I guess you would say, secret government land. Now, let me preface this by saying that because, first off, we have a lot of people who run and contribute and are devotees and volunteers, if you will, of this network who have a great deal of background in military intelligence. And with this background in military intelligence, this gives us a certain, along with myself, who does just so happen to be an ambassador for a foreign nation state. It's not recognized by the United States yet, but it is recognized by treaty by something like, you know, 37 other countries. But that's the Republic of New Lemuria. And I know that sounds kind of odd, but that does – I am an ambassador. It's like five islands in the middle of the South Pacific. We've got an airstrip on one of them, and I think we've got a – we have an army which consists of a an angry seagull and a rather irascible old man named Bob who has a very sharp pointy stick. And he will poke you right in the eye if you try to get on our island anywhere. So, yeah, New Lemuria, by the way, I mean, I'm the one that came up with the name for New Lemuria and came up with the flag and came up with the seal. And Richard McDonald, who's a really crankety, crotchety old dude who he's basically Yoda with hemorrhoids. It's Richard McDonald. He's the president of the whole thing. Not a very pleasant guy, but I guess you know, being the iconoclast that you are, the revolutionary and a person who sort of continues to jab his fingers into the eyes of society is not usually the most pleasant individual. The only reason I'm mentioning this is because for whatever reason, we got a hold of a feed, a proprietary government feed that comes out of a military intelligence site that monitors cyber warfare. And through a network that they call Norse, as in the Norse gods, you can actually track in real time cybernetic attacks on the various networks of what's going on. You know, and I've got to say this, by the way, I sent this information to Tom Danheiser, who is the producer for Coast to Coast. And I keep forgetting that Mr. Danheiser is, you know, he's Mr. Personality. Bottom line, he's not a nice man. He does not have... This guy would not know the truth if it bit him on his fat, flabby ass. And, you know, his response to this was, oh, well, I've been checking this out and... Because that's how he talks. I've been checking this out and, you know, it's my job. I stayed up all night trying to get the truth to people. Well, I got news for you, buddy. You know, you can't get the truth out to people if they're fast asleep because your program is so boring that nobody listens to it. So, I'm just saying that I was trying to be a nice guy and trying to impart information to what I believe to be my fellow radio colleagues, from which I get nothing but angry, venomous vitriol from Tom Danheiser. And again, the perfect personality for somebody who happens to be a producer for a radio show, you know, because you've got to actually like people. And if you want to know why they don't get any good guests and you want to know why all that goes down, well, you know, you should probably have a conversation with Tom Danheiser. Hello, I'm Tom Danheiser. So, you know, good on you, Tom. I hope somebody calls you and tells you that tells you that I'm mocking you. So, so as such, this, you know, this goes on with the exception of Tom Danheiser. He's like, I'm working to get the truth out to people. I'm watching in real time, a series of cyber attacks on the United States that are primarily coming from Russia, China, and a large majority of Asia. And we're talking about something like when my feed cut out and I had to get up and go other places, there were well over 12,000 cyber attacks coming against the United States. And they were being, and by the way, we were dishing it out as well too, but they were primarily targeting Cupertino, Sunnyvale, Silicon Valley, Seattle. Strange enough, and this is where it gets a little weird. It gets a little strange because there were a massive number of attacks that were actually coming from an island off the ivory coast of Africa, underneath sort of the, if you imagine the hump of Africa as it goes down into the main peninsula, for lack of a better term, there is an island that a lot of these were coming off of. And off of South Africa, the global government, if you read my book, Sands of Time, and you guys will be informed of this. And by the way, volume one is out. We should have volume two out this week, actually, which is the was the first hardback cover of the book, but we've now divided it up into volume one and volume two. We also, hypothetically, theoretically, and there have been a few people with some problems with this, but Sands of Time, we do have an audio. We have it as an ebook. We have it as a Kindle. We have it basically any way you want to read it. We've got Sands of Time out there. And there have been some people who've been going to the StrangeUniverseRadio.com website and claim that they haven't been able to find or have not been able to download the audio version of Sands of Time, read and performed by yours truly. In Sands of Time, we talk about how there are I guess you would call planetary defense bases that are run by this by the group, for lack of a better term, MJ-12 or Majestic 12, and they exist in places like the Cayman Islands, directly off the coast of South Africa, in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and there are six of these that they have around the planet. So as the planet is rotating, they pass the baby off in this 24-hour cycle that is constantly viewing sections of deep space to make sure that nothing's coming at us, to make sure that there are no dimensional rifts opening, if you will, things that they call glimmermen or glimmerman that are directly coming at us. And so there's a there are rifts in the dimension of the, in the dimensions of time space, if you will, that we're constantly monitoring, make sure nothing does us in. There's a lot of things in this universe that don't like us and are trying to control us and are trying to use force to do that. Now, here's where it gets kind of interesting, because out of the bases in the Cayman Islands and also South Africa and Sao Paulo, you had a lot of these cyber attacks actually going back and forth, which is very weird, because when you have the black ops global secret government getting involved and something going on, and it began about 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. Now, when I sent the text to my friends over my phone, and I just did kind of a mass text to all of you, and I was kind of panicked because I just put out there, OMG, this is one of the worst cyber warfare attacks that I've ever seen. This whole thing looks like war games. I mean, you could barely see this global map because it was so lit up with these pings and pongs and really. Hold on a second. Oh, it's just so much fun. Thank you. Better. It was lit up with these pings and pongs and all of these just crazy things. And I apologize that I panicked a number of people. Well, I don't apologize because I told people, look, if this is what I think it is, number one, you're looking at, and this is the least possible worst case scenario, that you may have had the banks begin to go down, and people not be able to get money out, which is something that they could probably fix fairly easily. But please remember that when you're talking about cyber attacks, you're also talking about nuclear launch codes. You're also talking about computers that run energy and power grids. You're also talking about computers that run meltdown mechanisms for nuclear power plants. You mess with these things, and there is a program out there that is kind of the nuclear option, if you will, but it is a, for lack of a better term, I guess you could call it, it's an artificial intelligence program that is basically alive. And I've talked about this quite a bit before, but it's called the PROMIS software. PROMIS stands for Prosecutor's Office Management Information Systems and Tracking, basically. It was a piece of software that used fuzzy logic that was invented by a man by the name of Bill Hamilton for a company called Inslaw in the 1980s. It was stolen by the Reagan administration. I mean, just flat out stolen. Copies of it were taken, they were made, and Reagan did not want to pay Bill Hamilton for the software. Hamilton did not want the software used for military purposes. And, of course, the Reagan administration wanted to use it for military purposes, so they just stole it. And Hamilton did not find out that Reagan and Ed Meese, who was the attorney general at the time, had stolen PROMIS until he got a call from the Canadian government. The Canadian said, hey, well, how's it going, eh? Do you have a copy of this program in French? Because we'd like to give it to some Frenchies over in Montreal to take a look at it, eh? And he's like, how did you get a hold of it? Oh, we got a copy of it from our buddies over in RMCP, RCMP, and they got it from their pals in the FBI, and they got it from Reagan. So Bill Hamilton then tried to sue the Reagan administration, and then he was arrested on a series of trumped-up charges for everything from child pornography to, all the crap they make up against you when they try to just, do something about you. For all intents and purposes, PROMIS, and here's what PROMIS does, it could track anything through any system. And what it was designed to do initially, using fuzzy logic to do this, was to read any computer language, which means it could break any firewall, break into any computer, use fuzzy logic to basically get around any sort of firewalls or whatever else. And what PROMIS really did was let's say I'm tracking Even Steven, and Even Steven is an international criminal. And I'm in the Justice Department, and I have to and Even Steven has a bunch of various aliases. He could be Even Steven. He could be the Travesty. He could be Metalhead 5. He could be Neo, Morpheus, whatever. And, of course, if I have to track him, his one identity might be running guns. Another one is drugs. Another one is white slavery. Another one is, you've got to launder the money from all these various things. So now you're tracking a criminal through a whole plethora of various alphabet agencies that go through different things. You've got, BATF for guns and alcohol. You've got INS or ICE for immigration or for white slavery. You've got, of course, IRS and FinCEN, which is the Financial Crimes Data Network. You've got all these different things, and for all they know, they could be doing double, triple, quadruple work, all tracking the same person and not even knowing it. What PROMIS was designed to do was break into all these antiquated systems, basically, create bubbles of information. And then these bubbles would then float to the top in a file that the Justice Department could then use to basically track an international criminal. Well, you could see how a program like that could be used to track anything. You can track submarines. You can track stuff in space. You can track ship movements. You can track an individual. And then the PROMIS 2 software came along. And for all intents and purposes, this AI became alive about 1997 or 1998 or so. And, of course, what did we do? Well, we tried to then disseminate it to people like our buddies, the Chinese. There were a series of trumped-up fires at Los Alamos National Labs in New Mexico. And these fires were basically to cover a massive technology and data system information network transfer to the Red Chinese by the Clinton administration. Because the first thing that the military started doing once Russia collapsed and was no longer a viable threat to the West, and by the way, Russia was never a viable threat to the West. The Soviet Union was pure and simple a creation of the United States. It was a corporation, in essence, that was a front for the Rockefeller family. And if you do not believe me, when Russia went bankrupt in 1989, between 1989 and 1991, David Rockefeller was the executor for the bankruptcy of the USSR. And when Vladimir Putin came in, he saw what the World Bank and the Rockefellers did to the former Soviet Union. He hated them for it. And so bottom line was, is that he used every dime that the Russians had made off of oil and natural gas to pay off the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, and then showed up at Rockefeller's dock in St. Petersburg, grabbed him by the scruff of the neck and gave him the boot and kicked him out of the country. All right, okay. I can tell we've got a caller because it sounds like Jeffrey Dahmer is cooking somebody's head on a stove. So, hello, caller. How are you? Who's this and where are you at?
Oh, wow. What an intro. Hey, I'll totally verify. 89, 90. Yeah, that's exactly when Russia basically figured out that the United States was way far ahead of the game than they were able to even keep up with. In fact, with the advent of technology, when they found out that we had teleporters and stuff and that it was more efficient and easier to send a 1.5 second nuke to Russia as opposed to sticking it on a rocket, they basically gave up. And when they found that out, they were actually escorted off out of Pahrump or out of Area 51. And that was in 89. And that's actually Bob Lazar's story. And that's actually what he did not tell the public, but that's what he kind of he alluded to some things that wasn't that, but that's the actual info of what really happened there.
Huh, interesting.
The Russians were invited to Area 51, and one of them inadvertently saw one of the teleporters working, and then the Russians were very promptly kicked off of out of Area 51 and never invited back, and that's when they knew that we were really far ahead of the game.
Huh. Yeah. Interesting tidbit of information. All right. What else you got? Do you have a question? You have another comment?
Basically, Russia was never really a threat. And the only threat that they really were to people that worked in industry that they were trying to induct, for technology. And, but as far as, the created missile crisis, they're trying to revamp that again, which is, it's ludicrous. It's silly. It's a stage front for, it's kind of a healthy one for people to identify with some sort of dialogue, but it's not the real case at all. In fact, things are very peaceful. As you notice that the United States is really king or dominant at creating war, to create enough people. And the rest of the world is sitting back saying, what the hell are you doing, USA? It's kind of silly.
Well, Washington, D.C. is the only nation state that needs war in order to survive. And when you understand that when Eisenhower said, beware the military industrial complex, we now for close to 70 years, 50%+ of the entire budget of the federal government has gone to the Pentagon. And man, people, maybe if they woke up to the fact that the Pentagon's budget every year is more than that of all 50 states combined, and that if somebody like a Rand Paul, for example, or anybody who just was anti-military would actually get into the White House, and maybe just a year of isolationism, maybe 2 years of isolationism, where we're not involved in all these crazy places all over the world. Now that the United States has invaded something like 100 countries, imagine if you just froze the budget of the Pentagon and said, okay, the Pentagon is going to go without for 1 year. We're going to distribute all that money to the states, and all that money is going to go towards schools, towards roads, towards infrastructure, towards bridges, towards towards fixing the plumbing, if you will, of the entire country. And people need to realize that close to half or more of the entire federal budget, 50% of it, 5% of it goes to pay everybody in the government. 50% of it goes to defense. And the other 45% goes to taking basically hard-earned money away from one group of people that earned it and giving it to another group of people that didn't. So in this particular case, you know, what I was explaining is that this cyber attack or this cyber war, especially this weekend with the Promise 2 software, directly leads into China, most of Asia, interesting, because it appeared to me that the attacks were coming from primarily China, Moscow, and then Korea, South Korea, Japan, all against the United States. And when I stopped looking at the stopped monitoring it, as I said, it was well over 12,000 cyber hits that the U.S. was taking, not just banking systems. And I sent a text to my friends that said, you might want to get some money out of the banks. You might want to have some cash on hand. And yeah. Quite a few people who knew what I was talking about and know that I don't, you know, I'm not the kid who cries wolf all the time. I actually did go down and take some money out of the, money out of the banking machines, with the exception of Tom Danheiser, who, you know, decided that, I sit here and I sit here working on the truth for people every day because he's just because he's he's a big lumpy jerk. So
what's funny?
What's funny?
I'm actually friends, very good friends with Laura Eisenhower, the great granddaughter of.
That's not funny. Laura's a great girl. She's on the show all the time.
Oh yeah, she's awesome. She's completely awesome. No, I just thought it was great that you brought up. People, you know. People, I think, know who I am a little bit. The teleporters, they can look up Stillings Mars on Yahoo.
Well, what I've always wanted Laura to do, especially when she gets on the program, is that number one, because of Laura's bloodline and her pedigree, I mean, she could be up there with the daughters of former presidents, with the daughters of Nixon, with the daughters of Carter, with they actually have a little club for daughters of former presidents. They, you know, they can go to lunches, they do parades, they do all kinds of stuff, which Laura. Could certainly be doing, rather than, you know, she lives kind of a bohemian lifestyle with her boyfriend, Dr. Dream, who I'm sure the Thompson twins wrote that song about. Don't mess with Dr. Dream. And I learned not
there's
to mess
royal,
with
there's a royal lawsuit there.
I learned not to mess with Dr. Dream. But with Laura, it's, I've always just tried to get her to talk about her own experience and give me her own opinions on things, because she, you know, the first couple of times I've had her on the program, she seemed to just talk about, you know, other people and that other people who said that they'd jump to Mars or, you know, these jump rooms or whatever else, or, you know, I forget the guy's name who says he's going to be president in 2016. Bashago. Yes. And I know we've had Bernard Goetz on the program. As well, and he's a big listener also. All right, buddy, that's the break. You got anything else? Anything else you want to impart to the people before we have to take a break here?
Yellowstone's going to be going off in about 3 weeks. They're going to have an event. There'll be an earthquake in San Francisco in 2.5 weeks, and so people get ready. There's a big wave coming.
There you go. And people get ready for this break and all kinds of good information that you need to know. This is Sean David Morton, and we'll be back with more stuff, Strangers, on Strange Universe after this. Stand by.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Revolution, Revolution Radio.
You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat asses, eating and drinking themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it, Connor.
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
2014 would be an amazing year of consciousness, revelation, and ascension for us all. Hi, this is Megan Bell. We at Pyridyne are here to help you achieve all the goals that you have set for yourself and achieve the happiness and prosperity that you so richly deserve. That is why we are announcing a historic sale on all of our amazing jewelry, specifically the revolutionary Super Receptor Medallion. At Pyridyne, we fine-tune the device to your personal frequency, choosing from 24 precious gemstones to bring your body into maximum harmony. Invented by my late contactee father, Dr. Fred Bell, this incredible ET technology is reputed to raise our vibrations, protecting and defending our bodies from the sea of EMF and radiation that we now swim in every day, activating your energy to its ultimate potential. See how this remarkable technology can help you, now at sale prices that you cannot afford to miss. Pyridyne.com. Technology from the future for all of us.
A whole new world of power, health, and awareness is only a click away. Check out the remarkable devices and systems at Pyridyne.com. That's Pyridyne.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio freedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
Sands of Time, an epic story spanning 40 years in the life of Dr. Ted Humphrey and his involvement with time travel, Area 51,
the Dulce Missile,
the Montauk Project,
the Shadow Government,
and Dr. Humphrey's meteoric rise to become head of an all-powerful global organization engaged in a desperate race against time to save our world. At 17, Ted's father, a brilliant government scientist, disappears, and Ted makes it his life's mission to discover his father's fate. This leads to him being drafted into beyond top secret projects, making the most valuable machine ever built. A device that can move through space and time. As time tech is developed, Ted is taken inside an elite clandestine group of men dedicated to hiding a deadly truth that forces from beyond the stars could lead to Earth's destruction. Ted gets guidance from people further down and outside the time stream, never knowing who he can trust, while still seeking to solve his father's disappearance. Sands of Time is truly remarkable. A rare look behind the curtain of the black world of super technology and shows us, once again, that all we have come to accept as reality is wrong.
And now, for the very first time, Sands of Time, Volume 1, is now available in paperback for only $25. Read the book that Amazon ranked 5 stars. Also, in ebook and dynamic voice spoken word audio, all at Amazon or StrangeUniverseRadio.com.
Read this book and never be the same.
This is JP from Journeys with JP. You're listening to Revolution Radio, and now back to Sean David Morton with Strange Universe.
Just when you have a chance. Keep moving on into the gap. That's Thompson Twins, of course. I don't know. Just been digging Thompson Twins and Howard Jones recently because we saw them in concert. Welcome back to Strange Universe. It's, of course, myself and the amazing, the stupendous, even Stephen Travesty. Once again, Strange Universe is still looking for a really bright, really smart black friend. So if you want to be my black friend, please apply. I've got Steve. I've got a long-haired heavy metal friend. We've got JP, who counts as three because he's an Englishman who lives in Scotland who's also Jewish. So that counts as like three different friends because he's my Jewish friend, my English friend, and my Scottish friend. I guess we got Nighthawk, who's my hillbilly friend. We're working on the mod squad here. Eventually, we'll have Lance and Mike and Julie, I guess, and eventually be the mod squad. So there it is.
Oh, did you hear about Scotland?
No, what about Scotland?
September 18th, so 10 days from now, very strong possibility they're going to vote themselves out of England.
Yeah, the referendum for them to be independent. And, you know, it's a – I'm sorry to all you Scottish people. It's a complete fraud. And congratulations and all that on becoming independent, but you're not. You're achieving the same independence that Ireland thought they achieved, the same independence that the United States thought we achieved. They are still going to have the British banking system. They are still going to have the same British courts. And here's what England learned a long time ago. England learned that the whole empire thing, where you own other countries, really does not work. And I think they learned their lesson with India last. And the British, bottom line is, the British don't care as part of the matrix, if you will, if you think you own your country or not. Again, it's the classic aspect of the Matrix where Neo runs around for three of these movies thinking that it's all about choice, and it's never about choice. It's about control. So here's what England's doing, is that the British are going to be keeping the British money system. So they're going to be keeping the pound with the Queen's face on it, and they're keeping the courts. And here's what they did in the War of 1812. And by the way, the British embassy just got in some trouble. I mentioned it on this program, by the way, which may or may not have been why they got in trouble. But on the 200th anniversary of England invading the United States and burning and actually people don't realize this, but what began in the War of 1812, in 1814, the British eventually made it to Washington, D.C., and kicked in the front door of the White House, turned the White House into their military headquarters. James Madison was actually eating his dinner when the British kicked in the front door, and he ran out the back door, jumped on his horse with his napkin still flapping in the breeze underneath his chin, while his wife went the other way with a wagon with paintings of George Washington and various other relics.
Yeah.
But the
I'm on the phone, so don't disturb me.
You gotta mute yourself back there. Is this our buddy again? Or is it? See, it's always when people call in and they crash the party, they never mute themselves. So once again, it sounds like they're cooking people in the background.
Hello.
So the British actually had a big party where they lit sparklers around around a mock up of the White House on a cake, and had a big barbecue at the British Embassy to celebrate the 200th anniversary of Britain invading the United States and burning Washington, D.C. For which they had to apologize. You're going to have to – all right. Do we have a caller? Because if you're going to yell in my ear
– I just had to hang up on him for not being in any way, shape, or form respectful of the fact that he just went live on the air. So
yeah, and he was like, Ma, Mom, on the radio. So – and I got too much stuff to read here anyway. So the Scottish, you know, good on you, Hutman, with your haggis and all that. But look, if you don't run your own courts and you don't run your own banks, you don't have a country. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And it was J.P. Morgan that said this. It was Rothschild who said this. It's the Rockefellers who have said this, that give me control of a country's money system and I care not who runs the country. So, you know, you tell me who runs the United States. When they instituted the Federal Reserve System here, the head of the Federal Reserve was not an American. He was a German who didn't even speak English. It was basically all being run by the Warburgs and Kuhn and Loeb at that time. And they were 12 primarily European banks. And the only reason they were able to pass the Federal Reserve System and the 13th Amendment and the income tax – and I'm not 13th, I'm sorry, the 16th Amendment. 16th Amendment and all of their crap was because the Astors and some of the most powerful industrialists in this country – all died on the Titanic. And by the way, the White Star Line was owned by J.P. Morgan. And J.P. Morgan, who was scheduled to be on the Titanic for that trip, faked a cold. Oh, I've got the flu. Even though he was at a party somewhere else. when the Titanic left. So, you know, again, is that the big conspiracy theory? Did they sink the Titanic on purpose? Did they purposely sabotage its radio? Did they purposely tell the captain to go full speed ahead, that he would get $50,000 if he made the North Atlantic crossing in record time? Did they purposely send him into a an iceberg field where they knew that the ship was going to be destroyed? There are even theories that the original ship was the Olympia, which was actually where its hull was shattered when it ran into a dock, and that the ships were actually changed at the last minute. So it was actually the Olympia pretending to be a Titanic that actually made it. The Titanic, which became the Olympia, served well into the Second World War. So anyway, so there's a whole thing for you. Okay, well, I've got so many stories here, and Steve just hit me with something here, so it's a burst of good stuff. All right, I'll get to that in a second. Let me just do a couple of things. Dear Sean, a few letters. I received Sands of Time Volume 1 this past Friday and have not been able to put it down. Upon cracking the first pages, my cat approved of it immediately by jumping up and relentlessly rubbing his cheeks on the page corners. You know, that's probably because we had them out here and our Norwegian forest cats sit on the books and they rub against them. By the way, it rained here today, finally. In Southern California, it rained. So because we have Norwegian forest cats and they are basically like little people in fursuits, they are not cats. They are not afraid of anything. They have absolutely no fear whatsoever. They're not afraid of people. They're super friendly. They're probably some of the most intelligent animals you'll ever see. I mean, they're not like border collie smart, but, you know, how smart is an animal that just does everything you want it to do? But they were outside. They love the rain, love the rain. There were puddles out on the deck, and they were dancing through the puddles. They were literally jumping up and down in the puddles. That's how much fun they were having because they love water. They love water. They love ice. And there's a reason why they were called Thundercats and are sacred to the god Thor. And Thor supposedly got Norwegian forest cats from the Frost Giants, where he actually then gave a pair of them, a white one and a black one, to his mother Freya, who then used them to – who we have the name – we named Friday after Freya, who she actually then – legend has it her chariot was towed by a black and white Norwegian forest cats. So they were out on the deck today when it was raining just this morning. Oh, just loving life. And, of course, you know, the best alarm clock on earth, because they get hungry about 6 o'clock, so they come jump on the bed. And, of course, they're sopping wet, and they don't know it because their fur is so thick, and they're so happy. They're just overjoyed. They're ecstatic with joy that they're all muddy and wet, and, of course, they got to come jump on me. Anyway, to continue, masterful and epic. This is this friend who says, they jumped up on your book. Masterful and epic fall short in wrapping a bow of proper adjectives around this book. I seriously cannot express how well this book and the storytelling flows so evenly. I hope that the miniseries movie project goes through for you, as this is a story that the short attention culture span people should witness. Would love to hear your thoughts about who would be cast for the roles on Hammers and Nails broadcast, which I guess is us. I'm about done with the book, so please get cracking on releasing Volume 2. Your friend Phil in New York, listener 41. P.S. I recently have been going through a difficult patch in life. I'd like to thank you for doing your show and bringing a smile to my face and a shade of sensibility in a seemingly stranger than normal universe. Through some of the more difficult moments, your sign off has brought perspective to me when needed. Thanks for being a friend I haven't met yet. All is one, life has purpose, God is love. That's Phil in New York. Thank you, Phil. And thanks for writing, and thanks for your email. And, you know, once again, I say it once and I say it again. The rarest and most unique and most fantastic gift that the universe can give us is a friend. You know, your parents, you may or may not choose. But if you just understand how rare it is to make a friend, a person that shares your interests, that has your same, that has your same interest in things, that laughs at the same things, that cries at the same things, has the same interests and purposes. It's a miracle that anybody comes together at all. So, you know, I always, always appreciate that magnificently rare and unique gift of having somebody who's a friend. And I have never abused that privilege with anyone. And I have so gone out of my way to never lose a friend over a fight or an unkind word or whatever. But, you know, I've been screwed by a lot of people who wanted to be my friend, but What can I say? Also, thank you for your many dedicated hours keeping your listeners around the world well-informed. You and Steve are a great team. It's comforting to know there are lovely spiritual people as yourselves getting out the truth in a no-nonsense manner along with Sean's amusing anecdotes and voice imitations. Is that what they are? And enjoy your lunch at the Cheesecake Factory. It's my favorite restaurant, too. Warmest regards. And this is from the lovely Rebecca. And I want to say thank you so much, Rebecca. Rebecca, my birthday's coming up on October 1st, and Rebecca gave us she gave us a $60 gift certificate to the Cheesecake Factory. And Rebecca, just, gosh, thank you so much. And the listeners of this program are just so fantastic. And every single one of you, everybody I've managed to meet, everyone I've talked to. And by the way, all of you who listen to this program, you've always been so great. And I'm always getting compliments from the other staff at Revolution Radio from people like, you know, Kat and Mad Painter. And, oh, Nighthawk's always grumpy and he never talks to anybody. But it's every time they interact with anyone, they say, wow, your Strange Universe audience is just fantastic. And we love talking to them. So just thanks for being so great. So there you go. And Rebecca, I can't thank you enough for the Cheesecake Factory. Wow, $60. And that's Melissa's favorite restaurant. And she says every time she goes there, she feels like she's on vacation. So I think we went there for brunch like a couple of weeks ago, and she was just she was so happy. She's overjoyed. And our Cheesecake Factory is right on the it's right on the harbor in King Harbor. So there you are. Meanwhile, let me see. I'm just going through the whole thing here. Yes, you've got cyber attacks.
Sean, I hate that. Yeah, I hate to be blasting you with all this stuff, but I came across a bunch of really juicy information. Don't let it distract you, but
okay. If
we can find time to read Fulford and then Cobra, we got a lot of great information coming
out. Got it. Okay, the 9/11 truth movement will never go away. A 45-foot building, 7-video billboard is now going to be installed in Times Square just for 9/11 truth. This is a great story. This just shows, once again, this is from September 4th. This is John Vibes. Just in time for 9/11, a massive video billboard showing Building 7 will now appear in Times Square. Architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth will be unveiling a 45-foot video billboard which shows footage of Building 7's freefall collapse on repeat in one of the most high-traffic areas in the world. And the billboard will be installed at the corner of 42nd Street and 8th Avenue in Times Square. Millions of people go through this intersection in a year. Millions of tourists from all around the world. And finally, the 9/11 Truth Movement is going to just show the videos of what happened to the buildings. Just show them over and over and over again to show them that the truth cannot be denied. The group has said on their website, not only does this billboard draw maximum attention by facing in two directions while towering over one of the busiest intersections in Manhattan and the world, but it's also digital, which allows us to show practically life-size video footage of WTC 7, World Trade Center 7, symmetrical destruction, and that's exactly what we plan to do. For 15 seconds out of every 2 minutes, people walking by will see WTC 7's freefall descent, the vast majority of them for the first time, on massive 45-foot by 45-foot screens. Altogether, we will reach 100,000 people per day, amounting to 3 million viewings from September 8th to October 5th. The message will be simple and powerful, encouraging viewers to trust their own eyes and their instincts about WTC7's smooth, symmetrical downward motion and follow up at rethink911.org. Even though we will no longer be speaking directly to the folks at the New York Times, most Times employees will see the ad on a daily basis, thus making it impossible for them to ignore the truth about what happened at the World Trade Center on 9/11. The upside, of course, is that millions of people will be treated to a high-impact viewing experience of the truth about the third skyscraper destroyed on 9/11. The original plan, by the way, was to put the billboard directly in front of the New York Times building. But unfortunately, the group currently occupying that advertising space has a one-year contract. Still, organizers believe that the spot that they ended up with may get more attention than the one they originally picked. The ad will be installed just in time for a number of protests that will be taking place in the area on the anniversary of the September 11th attacks. The installation of this billboard comes just a month after Richard Gage, a representative of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, appeared on C-SPAN to discuss his research at length. And by the way, the groups Ground Zero 9/11 and Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth are also hosting a documentary screening, a speaker symposium, a music event, and outreach at several locations in New York throughout next week. Can't tell you how important this is. You know, the attacks of 9/11 have been used to basically create the Department of Homeland Security, which has now allowed the military-industrial complex to get around Posse Comitatus, to have an army to attack the states directly, to operate on our soil. They have been responsible for the creation of the TSA, for a massive degradation of our rights, a complete shredding of the Constitution, and have led to a pair of wars that have now lasted 11 and 13 years now, actually. Well, going on from 2003, so we have 11 years, and the two longest wars in American history with Afghanistan and Iraq that are still going on, by the way, creating chaos in that part of the world, have cost trillions of dollars all over essentially what is a magic trick. And I just got to read this. This is the – let me just go through these stories because we'll have all kinds of time to get to all the other stuff. But just in the world of sports, just want to say congratulations to – the USC Trojans for beating Stanford. Truly, there is a ray of light and a ray of truth in the universe when Stanford goes down. Also, this is kind of weird. I mean, and I'm going to put it out to you guys because, once again, is this racist? The Atlanta Hawks owner, he says, I pulled a Donald Sterling, outs himself for a super racist email. And once again, this is the guys at TMZ. Atlanta Hawks owner Bruce Levinson abruptly announced that he's now selling the team because he's guilty of sending an email so racist it would make Donald Sterling cringe. Levinson admits he sent the email to team execs back in 2012, this is 2 years ago, urging them to get more suburban white fans at the games. He then laid out all the problems with the current fan base, listing the following. It's 70% black, the cheerleaders are black, the music is hip-hop, at the bars, it's 90% black. There are a few fathers and sons at the games. The concerts after games are either hip-hop or gospel, Levinson continued in the email. By the way, this is Atlanta. Atlanta is primarily a African-American community. He then goes, quote, my theory is that the black crowd scared away the whites, and there are simply not enough affluent black fans to build a significant season ticket base. Again, Atlanta, but... he also complained that he's told team execs, quote, I want some white cheerleaders. I have even bitched that the kiss cam is too black. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says Levinson copped to the email in July, about 2 months after Donald Sterling was banned, and immediately informed the league he would sell the team. Levinson apologized to fans in a statement saying, if you're angry about what I wrote, you should be. I'm angry at myself as well. By the way, here's an update. Clyde Lewis, who's our buddy and runs Ground Zero Radio, there is a fine line between heart attacks and strokes, and Clyde barely came into that territory. Doctors have all agreed that he is lucky to be among the living. Clyde survived 5 clots that tried to shut down his lungs, and the clots were hidden killers and were jettisoned from his surgical areas. Believe it or not, Clyde has been attempting workouts and physical therapy. He's lost 40 pounds. Doctors say that he may have overdone it, and the clots were already headed to his heart and lungs a week prior to his attack. Clyde's situation is a result of having to face cancer surgeries and trying to return to his duties on the radio without resting. This is one of the reasons the doctors have ordered bed rest under nurse's care for a week. Clyde works very hard in his radio shows, and sometimes he pushes himself too hard. Clyde has expressed his love to those that understand what he is going through, and is grateful for the outpouring of support from listeners. Now, once again, he wants to thank Stephen and his efforts to raise money to help Clyde with his medical bills. While financial standings are confidential and many people assume that having a talk show would mean hefty paychecks. Yeah, that's maybe if you work anywhere but here. Good insurance plans to pay bills. Clyde has been working hard to pay off 3 cancer surgeries, checkups, therapy, and now he has to think about how he will be able to face this financial obstacle. Thank you for contributing. In the meantime, there is no word yet on when Clyde will be released from the hospital. He will be released soon. He's in a very fragile state at the moment. He has gone from near death to now hoping the listeners are ready when he returns. Clyde also would love to read letters from people that have had similar experiences and what they did to bounce back. Clyde loves you all and says thank you. So there's our buddy. there's our buddy Clyde and, you know, Ground Zero Radio and all that. Let me see. I've just got one more story here that I want to get through before we do go to other things. All right. Well, the apocalypse now has a new date, and that's 2048, and that's when the world's oceans will be empty of fish, predicts an international team of ecologists and economists. The cause, the disappearance of species due to overfishing, population, habitat loss, and climate change. The study by Boris Worm, his name is Boris Worm, PhD of Dalhousie University in Halifax, Nova Scotia, with colleagues in the UK, US, Sweden, and Panama, was an effort to understand what this loss of ocean species might mean to the world. The researchers analyzed several different kinds of data. Even to these ecology-minded scientists, the results were an unpleasant surprise. I was shocked and disturbed by how consistent these trends are beyond anything we suspected, Worm says in a news release. This isn't predicted to happen. This is happening now. Study researcher Nicola Beaumont, PhD of the Plymouth Marine Laboratory in the UK, says in the news release, if biodiversity continues to decline, the marine environment will not be able to sustain our way of life. Indeed, it may not be able to sustain our lives at all, Beaumont added. Already 29% of edible fish and seafood species have declined by 90%, a drop that means the collapse of these fisheries. But the issue isn't just having seafood on our plates. Ocean species filter toxins from the water, they protect shorelines, and they reduce the risk of algae blooms such as red tide. A large and increasing proportion of our population lives close to the coast. Thus, the loss of services such as flood control and waste detoxification can have disastrous consequences, Worm said. The researchers analyzed data from 32 experiments on different marine environments. They then analyzed 1,000 years of history of 12 coastal regions around the world, including San Francisco and Chesapeake Bays in the U.S. and the Adriatic, Baltic, and North Seas in Europe. Next, they analyzed fishery data from 64 large marine ecosystems. And finally, they looked at the recovery of 48 protected ocean areas. Their bottom line, everything that lives in an ocean or in the ocean is important. The diversity of ocean life is the key to its survival, and the areas of the ocean with the most different kinds of life are the healthiest. But the loss of species isn't gradual. It's happening fast and getting faster, the researchers say. Worm and colleagues call for sustainable fishery management, pollution control, habitat maintenance, and the creation of more ocean reserves. They say, isn't a cost, it's an investment that will pay off in lower insurance costs, a sustainable fishing industry, fewer natural disasters, human health, and more. It's not too late. We can turn this around, Worm says, but less than 1% of the global ocean is effectively protected right now. Worm and their colleagues reported their filings are coming out in the November 3rd issue of Science Magazine. And by the way, one of my favorite late-night talk show hosts is Craig Ferguson. I usually tape his show and watch him all the time. Craig Ferguson, who has the Late Late Show, is now officially being replaced by James Corden as the new host of the Late Late Show. Once again, he's the 36-year-old British actor-comedian who will replace Craig Ferguson, CBS said in a formal announcement. More than a month after the network's courtship of Corden first surfaced, though neither a filming locale nor firm dates were provided, Ferguson is set to sign off after a decade with the show in December, with Corden's CBS-produced show making its debut in 2015. James Corden is a rare entertainment force who combines irresistible charm, warmth, and originality with a diverse range of creative instincts. And Craig Ferguson was officially screwed out of the job on the Late Show.
FreedomSlips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Enjoy your
extra big-ass fries.
You didn't give me no fries. I got an empty box.
Would you like another?
Extra big-ass fries.
I said I didn't get any.
Thank you. Your account has been charged. Your balance is zero. Please
what?
Come back when you can afford to make
a
purchase.
No, no.
I'm sorry you're
Come
having
on.
Trouble.
My kids are starving.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio. Here at Revolution Radio, we believe in freedom of ideas, freedom of speech, but above all, we believe in freedom of existence through self-reliance. This station is 100% listener-supported, and as a fundraising promotion, I have a kick-ass free gift for a $100 donation. 35,000 seeds. 25 years in the freezer. Long-term storable, 54 different varieties. So if food prices go crazy, the shit hits the fan, or if you just want to save tons of money every year by creating your own food like I do, grab our seed pack special. Just look for the banner on the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need, as humans, to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorps to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and off-grid living documents and the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What we do in life, it goes in eternity.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Sands of Time, an epic story spanning 40 years in the life of Dr. Ted Humphrey and his involvement with time travel, Area 51,
the Dulce Missile,
the Montauk Project,
the Shadow Government,
and Dr. Humphrey's meteoric rise to become head of an all-powerful global organization engaged in a desperate race against time to save our world. At 17, Ted's father, a brilliant government scientist, disappears, and Ted makes it his life's mission to discover his father's fate. This leads to him being drafted into beyond top-secret projects, making the most valuable machine ever built, a device that can move through space and time. As time tech is developed, Ted is taken inside an elite, clandestine group of men dedicated to hiding a deadly truth that forces from beyond the stars could lead to Earth's destruction. Ted gets guidance from people further down and outside the time stream, never knowing who he can trust, while still seeking to solve his father's disappearance. Sands of Time is truly remarkable, a rare look behind the curtain of the black world of super technology, and shows us, once again, that all we have come to accept as reality is wrong.
And now, for the very first time, Sands of Time, Volume 1, is now available in paperback for only $25. Read the book that Amazon ranked 5 stars. Also, in ebook and dynamic voice spoken word audio, all at Amazon or StrangeUniverseRadio.com.
Read this book and never be the same.
Anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet. Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that. Oh, what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight's always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
My name is Megan Bell.
My father, Dr. Fred Bell, was one of the greatest scientific minds of this age. He was a prolific writer, inventor, and extraterrestrial contactee. When my father tragically passed away, many thought that his incredible scientific work would be lost forever. But I have picked up the torch and reignited his Promethean flame. We now bring you the all-new Pyridyn, based on the powerful fields created by pyramids and hyper-advanced Pleiadian and Andromedan technology. We offer jewelry, pendants, and scalar wave-based pyramid systems that bring protection from all the dangerous, harmful fields and energies that modern civilization bombards us with every day. All this combined with a line of vitamins and nutrient formulas that bring you raised levels of health, awareness, and closer to the ascension frequency of our new age. I joyfully invite you to join us on our website and find out more information for yourself.
A whole new world of power, health, and awareness is only a click away. Check out the remarkable devices and systems at Pyridyn.com. That's Pyridyne.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started? Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio freedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
This is Lorian Fenton from the Fenton Perspective. You're listening to Revolution Radio, and now we take you back to Strange Universe with your host, Sean David Morton.
Tonight we're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday. And Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. Monday night is my night to cook. Tuesday night we go and visit your mother. But Wednesday we make sweet weekly love. It's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your after work social sports team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh, it's all on. You lean in and whisper something sexy in my ear like,
I might go to bed now, I've got work in the morning.
I know what you're trying to say, girl. You're trying to say, oh yeah, it's business time. It's business time. And went in the bathroom, brushing our teeth. That's all part of the foreplay. I love foreplay.
A shaker, shaker, a shaker, shaker, a shaker, shaker. Ow, ow.
Anyway, that's Flight of the Conchords. That's Jerome, who actually plays, haven't figured it out yet, but he plays one of the dwarves in the new Lord of the Rings movies. I haven't figured out which one he is.
He sounds like a black guy.
It's Jerome. It's from Flight of the Conchords. It's Jeremy and Jerome are the two guys from Flight of the Conchords. 516, who dat and where you at? Thanks for being so patient.
516 has not reconnected yet. I will let you know as soon as
it does. 516, call us back. One other comment is actually some kind of, I had a fun weekend. Saturday, actually went to go see, we went out to the ESPN Zone out at downtown Disney and watched USC play Stanford. And, of course, we beat them with a field goal at the last moment and picked up a fumble, sacked the quarterback and picked up a fumble at the very end. So we won the game by like a field goal. And we've now beaten Stanford up there, down here, and up there. And for 4 years in a row, Stanford beat us. And I would say 3 out of those 4 years, we were beaten by the officials with really bad officiating and terrible officiating at the last minute. Of interest, Pat Hayden, who's our athletic director, actually came down from out of the booth when our coach, Steve Sarkisian, was in a big fight with the officials over a number of things. And just for him coming down and having a conversation with the officials, they fined him $25,000. Although there are no official rules about athletic directors actually being on the field, Wisconsin's athletic director came down, was on the field having a discussion with officials, was actually in what they call the white zone on the side of the field, and nothing happened to him. But for whatever reason, Pat Hayden, even though there is nothing in the codes that says an athletic director cannot be on the sidelines, cannot have a conversation with the referees. So I hope Hayden fights it. He's an attorney, but I hope he fights it. And one other thing, too, is that last night when Melissa got off work, we went to go see the 20-year anniversary in IMAX, actually, of Forrest Gump. And I just remembered what a remarkable film, one of the great all-time classics. You could put it up there with Lawrence of Arabia, with Gone with the Wind, with Bridge on the River Kwai, as just one of the great, great American films of all time. And I still remember in 1994, I was a little angry at the movie because when I got out of Forrest Gump, I said, well, what exactly is the lesson here? Is the lesson of Forrest Gump that if you're just stupid and if you just do what you're told and you just go where people tell you to go, that somehow you lead a great life and that the fickle finger of fate falls positively upon you and that the feather lands on you because what? Because you're just ignorant and do what people tell you? Now, 20 years later, it's kind of interesting because I looked at the movie and I thought to myself, well, okay, I came away with a different perspective on it that maybe because you have Forrest Gump, who's a very simple person, I began to realize that the concepts of loyalty and true friendship and keeping your promises, that those are the kind of things that the universe rewards. And you will notice that Forrest in his very simplistic way has a code of honor where he carries out his promises to Bubba, to Lieutenant Dan. And you'll notice that Jenny, I'm just like in the movie going, Jenny's a whore. She's a slut. And, of course, she's the one that has the miserable life. Why? Because she goes off and she gets addicted to drugs and, goes off in this kind of flighty way, but she doesn't honor her friendship. She doesn't honor her commitment. She doesn't. And so she has this horrible, terrible life. And once again, I thought, okay, well, maybe it's about honor and it's about friendship and it's about doing what you say and it's about keeping your promises. And when you do that, no matter what, stupid is as stupid does, ma'am, good things happen to you. And yes, the fickle finger of fate and the flying fantabulous feather does land on you if you're just clear and bright and dedicated in your devotion to your friends and your devotion to the things that you doing the things you say. All right, 516, welcome back. Who's that and where are you at?
It's Mark from New York.
Hey, Mark, how are you? What's on your mind?
Oh, just as a rejoinder to what you were talking about with Forrest Gump, I'm reminded of two things. One is the movie Time Bandits, which apparently you had some hand in.
I had something to do with time editing.
Sparked the idea. Well, no, you sparked the idea. Apparently,
I was very good friends with John Cleese. I used to babysit for his daughter when I lived in England. John was divorced from Connie Booth at the time, who he did Fawlty Towers with. And I used to babysit Cynthia, his daughter, who is now married to Ed Solomon, who's a gigantic screenwriter, wrote Men in Black and X-Men and all that. And I came up with a treatment. They were looking for a Monty Python film to do, and I thought, you know, I said, well, have you thought about maybe doing something that's like science fiction-y? And John said, no. He says, the reason Monty Python does the historical stuff, like, you know, Holy Grail, or like, you know, because it's so much easier to make fun of history, because it's an easier way to bring chaos out of order, if you will. And he said that science fiction just really parodies itself too much already, which is why they don't want to do it. So my suggestion is, why don't you do like a time travel piece where all the Monty Python guys can actually then play people throughout history and have kind of a Doctor Who sort of flavor to it? And I actually came up with a 60-page screenplay called The Man Who Stole Time that was about a gardener to the supreme being of the universe, and the universe is unraveling itself, and God gives Graham Chapman, if you will, as the gardener, the stupid gardener of the universe, a map to go through all of these things, to collect things, to then put them into a giant machine to then reweave the universe. And of course, then they, of course, the Satan or Lucifer is now trying to do the same thing and reweave the universe for evil. And actually, I handed it to him backstage at the Hollywood Bowl, I think in 80, when Monty Python did Live at the Hollywood Bowl. I was actually backstage at that, and I actually gave it to John, and he gave it to Mickey Palin. And they put a kid and some midgets in it, and it became Time Bandits. And I think it won an Academy Award for, like, best story or something. But it's, you know, it just goes to show when you have access, you know, and people can make a movie, and it's, you know, and nobody, when there's this kind of money involved, nobody's your friend. But, you know, I have no hard feelings. So go ahead.
You see, that's why I brought it up, because it seems to me as though you did have sort of a spark of an idea. In any event, the reason I brought it up is David Warner, who plays the devil.
Yes, of course.
And this is how I bring it into the Forrest Gump thing. He plays the devil. He's talking to one of his underlings, and he says this line. I laughed out loud when I heard it. He says, you know, he says, the guy is bereft of the ravages of intelligence.
So, I remember that line. That was a great line.
It was a great line. Now, that's one thing. And the other thing about Forrest Gump that I really didn't particularly care about was the fact that Rush Limbaugh took that movie to mean, you know, this is like the Republican model for how to behave, you know. And he just, like, he used it to beat up anybody who was, you know, sort of like anti-Republican, anti-conservative. He used this model as, this is the way an entrepreneur should be, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Really?
And I just thought that was oh, my God, it was just so bad.
Well, he's, you know, he is kind of a pumpkin head, and it's like, you know, I say everybody's got their blind spot, and you call Sean Hannity, and I've heard people do this. They call Sean Hannity and say, hey, Sean Hannity, you want to tell us about the Bilderbergers? And Hannity will go, I don't know what you're talking about. You're an idiot. And hangs up the phone on him. Glenn Beck, it's like, hey, you want to talk about 9/11? You're a weirdo. You're a wingnut. And hangs up the phone on him. I don't know. Rush Limbaugh, you know, him, you know, Alex Jones is like, you know, hey, did the Israelis have anything to do with anything? No, shut up. You hate Jews. And he hangs up the phone on you. So it's like, it's just, everybody's got their, especially 9/11, which is going to be very interesting to see. Once they put these giant billboards up in Times Square to actually show people. And I'm convinced that what happened with WTC-7 is that the – and this is the real gall of it. I am convinced that the fourth airplane was supposed to hit WTC-7 and that something happened to it. Something happened to it either over Shanksville, Pennsylvania, but that fourth airplane was supposed to hit WTC-7 because they had stolen all of the gold out of the basement. And this is according to the New York firefighters, who went down to the basement and found the gates were all open and you know, two-thirds of this gold was gone, and which was also the plot of the movie Die Hard 3, since we're talking about movies here, with Jeremy Irons and you know, Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson, where they trick a bunch of bombs at a bunch of schools to distract everybody from them actually looting the gold out of that building.
Black man named Zeus, that's what I...
No, that was Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, he was a black man named Zeus.
And they looted the gold out of it. And I think the amazing part about it is that what, 4 or 5 o'clock, somebody just said, screw it, blow the thing up. No one will notice. No one will know. We'll just blow this building up. Doesn't matter if a plane doesn't hit it. So,
well, that certainly puts the lie to the, you know, you, I, I talk to people about this, and they constantly, no, it's an airplane. And I always say, well, how did Osama do WTC-7? And they, you know. In any event, Sean, the question I wanted to ask you about, you mentioned Promise Software. And I was just wondering if you were, you didn't mention Reconosciuto, who really kind of like had a hand in developing it, although that the other gentleman you mentioned, the Bill, whatever his name was.
No, there was Bill Hamilton, and there was Reconosciuto, who's still sitting in prison. Right. I'm not so sure that he had something to do, well.
He did. If you go to J. Orlin Grab's website, and J. Right. Orlin Grab died in 2008, there's letters between Grab and him, and he talks about, you know, this kind of stuff. In any event, the thing I wanted to ask you is, Chip Tatum is on that same radio station, well, not radio station, internet radio station that you are, and he was involved in some of that stuff way back then. Do you ever, you know, like cross pollinate ideas with these people?
It's kind of strange. I didn't even know that, you know, it's, you know, the hosts are all, you know, it's not like we have the Justice League where we all meet on the moon or, you know, have the Hall of Justice or anything. Everything is all, it's very, you know, it's very segregated because we do the programs through Skype and everybody's all in different parts of the world. So it's very difficult to cross-pollinate ideas or guests or, you know, concepts because everybody's kind of got their own thing.
The one thing I wanted to ask you is, if you ever wanted to try to talk or communicate with Reconosciuto, his sister-in-law is called Anita Langley.
Okay.
She used to be a co-host on Black Op Radio.
Wow.
Which is a radio show. It basically, it's always about the Kennedy assassination and stuff. But right. Black Op Radio was Leno Sanik, who also was very involved with Prouty when he was published.
Fletcher Prouty, yeah, Mr. X, yes.
And Anita Langley is his sister-in-law, and she would occasionally give updates on his condition. But she can be reached through this guy Leno Sanik at Black Op Radio, and they got a website and everything. And okay. If you were to contact her through him, you might be able to get something written or actually, you know, talk to Reconosciuto, because apparently she does have some contact with him.
Well, he was still. I had a conversation with him in person like 20 years ago, but it was. Was when I was working for Hard Copy, and he was in Long Beach. He was in Terminal Island, a federal prison in Long Beach.
Right.
And we got to chatting down there because he had a lot of information about the explosive devices that were used during the World Trade Center bombings, actually in '93. Talking about the truck bomb, and there's a lot of very interesting connections because. And I know this for a fact because I know all the players in it, but there's a lot of connections that have to do with the Cabazon Indian tribe out in Palm Springs. Cabazon and the Marengo Valley and all that stuff is used as a giant – it's a gigantic CIA front, and they bring all kinds of different parts for various weapons and explosives and bombs, and they put them together there at Cabazon, with Cabazon being the front of it all. And And I had some very strange contacts there because the guy who was the front man for the Cabazon Indians, this is some very weird intel stuff. There was a guy by the name of John Nichols, and John Nichols worked with Jolly West out at UCLA. And these two guys were basically the main controllers and the creators of most of what became known as the MK Ultra programs at CIA.
Jolly West was the, he was the main. The guy was basically running all these Monarch people. Not only Monarch people, but
they were doing there was another guy by the name of Dr. Goldman as well, because they also pioneered the ice pick lobotomy, what they call the full frontal lobotomy, which is the full frontal eye lobotomy. As a matter of fact, this Goldman used to carry a tool in a velvet bag on his belt, where he could pop this thing up underneath the eye and then sever the occipital lobe for what they call the transorbital lobotomy. And this guy bragged that he'd done 10,000 of these things, mostly on women, which made them particularly docile, turned them into kind of Stepford wife types. So, and my run-in, well, not run-in, but my meeting with John Nichols, who was immensely fat. I mean, he was ginormously fat. This man must have weighed, I am not kidding, 650, maybe 700 pounds. He was huge. He needed, like, you know, ropes and pulleys and stuff to lower him onto the toilet and the bathtub and all that. And but what he did was, is that he, oh God, this was '92, he had fronted for the Cabazon Indians. And he was the one that connected the Cabazons with CIA and with all of the NSA guys and all the intel people. Because what he did is there was a band of about 20 Cabazon Indians, and they got busted by the state of California for doing nothing more than selling cigarettes without taxes. And right. California wanted their pennies off of taxes for that. And he went to bat for them. And what he did is he financed their court case with the California Supreme Court, because their treaty very clearly said that they had sovereignty over this basically just this little spit of land out in the desert. And they weren't even a tribe. There's only about 20 of them. So his whole deal was, he said, I will pay all your legal costs to take this to the Supreme Court to fight your treaty if you allow myself and my family to manage the trust of this basically in perpetuity till the end of time. And they said, fine. So he won the case. And now there's, you know, there are casinos and stores and strip malls and all this other stuff. And each one of the Cabazons is worth about $200 million apiece. And the Nichols family basically runs the entire trust. So when we got invited out there, what he wanted to do was actually set up alternative health clinics on Native American land. So that way, the exchange would be is that you could use and because this was because my family, my stepdad, Frank Salomon, and of course my mother, Maureen Kennedy Salomon, my mother was president of the National Health Federation for 37 years. And we ran all of the my stepdad, with his money, set up all the alternative cancer and alternative health clinics down in Mexico, of which you still have International BioCare, you still have the Contreras Clinic, you still have Clinic of Seidel, you still have a number of these clinics still operating there. And so we were going to take that model in Tijuana and then set them up on Indian territories here. And people don't realize that there's 473 Indian reservations and or territories and or sovereign nations in the state of California. I mean, there's that many. And you would be able to put an alternative health clinic on each one where you would be outside of the purview of the FDA and the feds. You could do alternative medicine that actually works. And then in exchange, you would have, you know, the white people coming in and doing it. You would then provide free healthcare for the Native Americans. So we, you know, went to his house and we got wine and dine at his place. And he talked about all the money that he was making at that time. And he also bragged that he was going to give all this money to Dianne Feinstein and Jerry Brown and that Barbara Boxer, and that he was basically going to turn – he was going to use this massive money he was making from the Cabazons to turn California primarily Democratic, which of course is exactly what he did. So it's this is just the weird behind the scenes stuff that was going on.
Amazing. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, buddy. All right, thanks a lot. All right, we're gonna get to Benjamin Fulford. We got stuff from Cobra, still some sort of metaphysical stuff. I want to thank all of you for just being the greatest and most intelligent and smartest and handsomest and most good looking audience in all of radio. Of course, everybody here at Strange Universe, we dress in tuxedos, but our audience is completely naked. So we'll be back to them after this.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And we'll be right back after this message.
Revolution. Revolution.
Radio.
Radio.
You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat asses, eating and drinking themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it done.
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
Would be an amazing year of consciousness, revelation, and ascension for us all. Hi, this is Megan Bell. We at Paradigm are here to help you achieve all the goals that you have set for yourself and achieve the happiness and prosperity that you so richly deserve. That is why we are announcing a historic sale on all of our amazing jewelry, specifically the revolutionary Super Receptor Medallion. At Paradigm, we fine-tune the device to your personal frequency, choosing from 24 precious gemstones to bring your body into maximum harmony. Invented created by my late contactee father, Dr. Fred Bell, this incredible ET technology is reputed to raise our vibrations, protecting and defending our bodies from the sea of EMF and radiation that we now swim in every day, activating your energy to its ultimate potential. See how this remarkable technology can help you, now at sale prices that you cannot afford to miss. Paradigm.com. Technology from the future for all of us.
A whole new world of power, health, and awareness is only a click away. Check out the remarkable devices and systems at Paradigm.com. That's P-Y-R-A-D-Y-N-E.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio freedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
Sands of Time, an epic story spanning 40 years in the life of Dr. Ted Humphrey and his involvement with time travel, Area 51,
the Dulcet Missile,
the Montauk Project,
the Shadow Government,
and Dr. Humphrey's meteoric rise to become head of an all-powerful global organization engaged in a desperate race against time to save our world. At 17, Ted's father, a brilliant government scientist, disappears, and Ted makes it his life's mission to discover his father's fate. This leads to him being drafted into beyond top secret projects, making the most valuable machine ever built, a device that can move through space and time. As time tech is developed, Ted is taken inside an elite clandestine group of men dedicated to hiding a deadly truth that forces from beyond the stars could lead to Earth's destruction. Ted gets guidance from people further down and outside the time stream, never knowing who he can trust, while still seeking to solve his father's disappearance. Sands of Time is truly remarkable, a rare look behind the curtain of the black world of super technology, and shows us, once again, that all we have come to accept as reality is wrong.
And now, for the very first time, Sands of Time, Volume 1, is now available in paperback for only $25. Read the book that Amazon ranked 5 stars. Also, in ebook and dynamic voice spoken word audio, all at Amazon or StrangeUniverseRadio.com.
Read this book and never be the same.
This is JP from Journeys with JP. You're listening to Revolution Radio, and now back to Sean David Morton with Strange Universe.
What it do, baby bum?
Yeah, little mama, you looking good. I see you on the plate with a player from the hood. Come holler at me, you got it like that. Big Snoop Dogg with the lead pussy cat. I show you how I go that. Yeah, I wanna throw that. Me and you one-on-one, treat it like a show that. You look at me and I look at you. I'm reaching for your shirt, what you want me to do?
I'm telling you to loosen up my buttons, baby. But you keep running, say what you gonna do to me. Cause I'm telling you to loosen up my buttons, baby. But you keep running, say what you gon' do to me. But I ain't seen nothing.
Typical and hardly the type of bubble I like in the physical. Don't leave me asking for more. I'm a sexy mama. Just gotta get what I wanna. All I do is string this on ya. Of all the things that I told ya.
And welcome back to Strange Universe. It's the Sean. How are you? Hold on one second. I want to find one thing here. Okay, here we go. There it is. All right. I just wanted to find this. What? Come on, you. I don't want artists. I want songs. Hold on one second. Trying to find you something to play, something really cool here. If I can do this. Okay, here we go. Stand by. All right. Really? Okay, it's an AIF. Can you play AIFs?
we'll sport one.
Okay, see what you can do. Just mess around with it for just a second here. So let me see if you can play that. If you want, I'll convert it to a JPEG, but or if it's an MPEG. Sorry. Anyway, whatever.
Say Winnipeg.
Whatever. Here's what Cobra has to say. Our buddy Cobra. And just let me know if you can play it on something. Let me know. Cobra's planetary situation update as of September 8th, 2014. He says that clearing of the Chimera group is proceeding according to the plan. The focus is slowly shifting from the removal of strangelet bombs towards dealing with top quark, anti-quark condensate anomaly. Okay. I guess strangelet bombs have to do with what, like antimatter implosion? I don't know.
Quark and anti-quark is what he describes. He says the devastation of these bombs would be like it would blow a chunk out of the side of the planet.
Right. Well, since we already have enough conventional stuff that can turn our planet into a smoking blue marble 2,700 times over.
Yeah, but now what you've done is that you've actually blown a massive super crater in the marble that is visible not just from space but from like the next planet over, because your planet is no longer round.
Well, if you actually go to there's actually something called CERN Truth on LHC dangers, mass bombs, fifth dimension and all that, that actually has an LHC production rates of quark condensates, novas, holes, strangelets, quark stars, and in essence really gives the description of a ship or a craft and how it could be actually powered by one of these things. They talk about how the there's three distinctive life extinction events that the Large Hadron Collider, a quark cannon that throws bullets of the densest, most explosive material of the universe, what they call quark condensates, can cause once it is put online at double potency in spring of 2015. And by the way, the last time they used the CERN Collider was on December 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, and 24 of December of 2012. And then they took the entire thing offline apparently until 2015, because there's also supposed to be another alignment with Galactic Center in about 2015 or so. But over what they call the 10 TeV barrier of creation dark matter, the theoretical minimal energy of formation of a bag of strangelets and micro black holes. And it's basically a thing that goes boom really big. It's I don't know if I should go into all that, but the strangelets are going to be made by CERN between 2015 and 2020 on collisions over 10 TeV, and then those strangelets will fall to the center of the Earth undetected, which will excuse CERN from responsibility, as it will deny it produced them till the end, and it will eat up the Earth from the inside out till it converts it to a 15 km strangelet rock. And finally, the magnetic field of the LHC, the strongest on the planet, which caused disturbances of the Earth's magnetic field, cause of earthquakes that have increased till record numbers similar to those of World War II during the carpet bombing of the Pacific seismic ring of fire, and since the machine was put online in a continuous growth that made April 2014, the all-time record for the month. Any of those three scenarios should have deterred CERN's physicists and its political backers from upgrading the machine to double potency in 2015. But physicists and the PR press considers the issue closed and prefer wishful thinking to ethics and social responsibility. I have literally spoken to a young man that works at CERN who says that, you know, every time they try to turn it on, the thing apparently doesn't work when it absolutely has to work. And he said, maybe it does work and it destroys the universe, and that there's some kind of reset button like a video game, and we jump to a more successful timeline. And my comment on that was, that is the greatest excuse for institutional complete incompetence that I've ever heard. So what Cobra is saying is that most of the Chimera entry-exit locations have been cleared. In other words, openings or portals in this dimension leading to invasions somewhere else. And this is what my book Sands of Time is also about. He says with two remaining Chimera strongholds being Long Island, possibly at Montauk, and a classified Central European location. He says Long Island is the location of past Montauk space-time anomaly experiments, of Cold Spring Harbor Cloning Lab, and of the Brookhaven National Laboratory. Brookhaven was a major entry point into a system of underground tunnels and caverns that spread below the majority of Long Island going towards New York. Now, that subterranean area was a prime underground real estate sought after by various extraterrestrial races and various factions, both positive and negative. This is where I have seen an Andromedan ship in a hangar back in 1977. Brookhaven is also the location of Relativistic Heavy Ion Collider, which is the RHIC, where the Chimera want to start production of strangelets. Now, although what he calls the Black Nobility Archons keep losing power daily, their Jesuit minions keep infiltrating the Eastern Alliance and the Dragons, hoping to create a new world war between the East and the West, and their plans will not be successful as key people within the Eastern Alliance and the Dragon groups are well aware of the infiltration. It is interesting to note that people in countries of the BRICS Alliance have the most positive outlook on their life from all countries on this planet, according to a poll. People in Western countries are pessimistic about the future for young people, whereas people in the BRICS countries are very positive about it. So this indicates that something positive is going on, just not here in the United States or the industrial countries. The Eastern Alliance is proceeding with its plans to dismantle the petrodollar system. The cracks in the matrix of the financial system of the cabal are already appearing. First, the cyber attacks on the J.P. Morgan banks, here where it says Wall Street cyber smash triggers FBI investigation, and FBI is said to be probing whether Russia tied to J.P. Morgan hacking. And J.P. Morgan is the banking institution where the central server of the financial system is located, and the reset will be triggered from there, he claims, the financial economic reset. Cyber attacks on the banks of the cabal are constantly ongoing and will increase. I saw them this weekend, where, as I said, the attacks when my server gave out and I had to go other places, they were over 12,000 on Saturday or Sunday. By today, everything had relatively calmed down. But I'm of the impression that these cyber attacks, this is me talking now, these cyber attacks are probably leading up to something that's going to happen on 9/11, something that had to do with the NATO summit as well, something that quite possibly has to do with, and Obama's going to be in a really weird position here. The reason he doesn't give a crap about what ISIS is doing is because ISIS is us. ISIS is basically MI5 and CIA. It's the reason why you have a British guy supposedly chopping off the head of an American guy who was not the guy they claimed he was to be, with basically a butter knife. So, you've not heard anything about MH17 anymore. That one's just completely dropped off the radar because the entire planet knows that our junta puppet government in Ukraine gave the order to shot this thing down. It came out of Kiev, and it was actually shot down by NATO forces, by a couple of Canadian Super Hornets. So that's why you're not hearing anything about MH17 anymore. He says, on the other hand, there are pockets of light already appearing within the financial system. He talks about how over 100,000 homeless people have been moved into homes, and it isn't stopping there in the most profound movements ever. Guaranteed minimum income is being approved. A German guy wants to give you a bunch of money for nothing. Anyway, Planetary Meditation Initiative did not trigger a response the light forces were anticipating. I hope people like Deepak Chopra, Ram Dass, Oprah, Eckhart Tolle, Children of the Sun, Drenvala Melchizedek, Greg Braden, why you would throw David Wilcock in that list is very strange, were contacted as they did not receive feedback from any of them. Hey, Cobra, give me a call. I'll help you out. If a critical mass of people would meditate even for 5 minutes at the same moment every Sunday, great coherence could be achieved. Another planetary situation update will follow as soon as certain operations of the light forces are completed. Can you play that clip that I gave you, that AIF?
Yes. Yes, I can. Here it comes.
All right. I just want you to hear this. This is the sound. This is the actual sound of an Andromedan starship that was actually taken in 1982. Go ahead. There you go. I've just activated your first, second, and third chakras, opened up the back of your head, and made all the hair on your body stand up. So,
and I told you that aliens listen to dubstep.
There we go. That's a that is what I've been trying to do for quite some time, by the way, is trying to take the sounds of an Andromeda starship, the sounds of a Pleiadian starship, and actually get somebody to actually run them through a synthesizer and turn them into a musical instrument. So you would actually be able to play an Andromeda and or Pleiadian starship actually as part of a musical instrument. Now, Fred Bell came the closest to it because he did break down the Pleiadian beamship sounds and turn that into something. All right, Benjamin Fulford, hopefully I have time for this. September 8th, 2014, apparently he's back from his vacation, and he's coming up with new stuff. We usually try to read his stuff on Monday. Anniversary of 9/11 comes with no arrests, but some untimely deaths. Let me point out also, before I jump into Benjamin, have you noticed that the last 3 months that the people who have been dying, every single one of them has been comedians? Have you noticed this? Now, Joan Rivers is interesting because here, number one, Joan Rivers and Melissa Rivers is outraged and beside herself. And I told you that this is not going to go away. The death of Joan Rivers was engineered somehow. Certainly it is unusual that she made her living off her big mouth, and it's her big mouth that probably got her killed when she made the comments about Barack Obama being a homosexual and his wife Michelle, a.k.a. Michael Robinson, was a either transgender or transsexual, whether or not she's post-op or whether or not she's a, I don't know, a Peter Tucker. I'm not sure which. But according to Melissa Rivers, Joan Rivers was bright, was cognizant, had performed, I guess, a day or maybe 2 days before. She was – there was nothing wrong with her. She was bright and alive. And the strange thing about it was she went in for basically an outpatient procedure to a doctor's office where general anesthetic was not required for what it was they were about to do. All they had to do was numb up the area to take some nodules off her vocal cords, and instead they put her into – they knocked her completely out, which was completely beyond the protocol. And there are other people – there's an interesting post out there. I'll get to it maybe tomorrow, but there are other people who believe that it's possible that Joan Rivers' death was faked, that because of her comments she's been put into some kind of witness protection program. Now, the email that went out on that – on that, I have to give a caveat on this. The same people who were telling me that Joan Rivers' death was faked and she was put into witness protection were also trying to tell me that Bill Hicks, the famous kind of politically relevant comedian, was that his death was in fact faked and that he underwent plastic surgery. I'm not kidding. That's what the post said. That he underwent plastic surgery and actually was then placed back into society. And that now Bill Hicks is in fact Alex Jones, and that's when my head exploded. So there you go.
Sean, right.
Yes.
And Fulford's going to mention this, and then I went and did some research to figure it out for me.
Okay.
Fulford says it wasn't his her comments on Barack Obama that got her killed. Although yes. I'd imagine that didn't help. But she actually had made these anti. Palestinian comments that were put up on that were on television, and I remembered after I watched the video. That's right, I remember when I heard about her saying that. I think somebody had put it up on the news.
But why would people think that would get her killed? I mean, you know what? First off, she's agreeing with Israel. Second off, she's agreeing with the U.S. Senate, who voted something like 100-0. To sanction Israel. Because her exact comments were basically that all the Palestinians should be wiped off the face of the earth, that she's glad they're bombing Gaza, that they were basically animals, you know, every man, woman, and child should be pretty much wiped out. Really, how's that going to get you in trouble with anybody?
Do you believe that the true nature of the current White House administration, the true nature of that administration is Zionist? Do you believe that?
I don't know.
My thing is that there's evidence to suggest, which is part of Barack Obama's lackadaisical attitude towards things like Muslim extremists like ISIS, that perhaps we're seeing a changing of the guard, and that this may be a message that Zionists no longer are protected.
Huh. Well, Valerie Jarrett, who's one of his main, you know, his best friend and one of his main advisors, is in fact Iranian. You know, we all know that Obama himself is famously Muslim.
That's my
and I think the biggest, the more, the overall overreaching point of this that I think everybody is missing is that for all of the atrocities, supposed, might I add, although I think that the entire thing is wag the dog, the whole thing is fake, the whole thing is the two beheadings that we've seen of Americans are completely fake. Most of these atrocities and these mass executions are utterly fake. That this is just pure green screen Hollywood theater. However, where is the outrage in the rest of Islam? Where is the outrage of these other Muslim countries who are claiming that ISIS does not represent Islam when I can show you verses in the Quran that show that ISIS is doing exactly what Muhammad has ordered? Exactly, that you will kill the infidels, that you will have a fatwa against them, that if they do not convert to Islam, they should have their possessions stripped and they should be killed. It's in the freaking book. I mean, all of the Quran is based on death and murder and a negative. And I don't know why people don't understand that Christianity and the cross and European culture have been at war with Islam since 600 AD, and that anywhere they couldn't proselytize, they have taken over through conquest. Now, there was a period of time in which Islam was rational because they had another book at that time, which was also called The Alienation of the Rose, also known as the Book of Truth. And the Book of Truth disappeared about 1195 AD or so, which is when things sort of started getting very bad for Islam. But there was a time when all the people of the book, which were Muslims and Christians and Jews, all lived in relative peace and harmony in what was known as the Caliphate of Cordoba. And most of the Caliphate of Islam was being ruled out of Cordoba, Spain. And it finally took Charles the Hammer Martel, who was French, to finally drive the Moors and the Muslims finally out of Europe. And now they're letting them right back in through massive immigration, and ladies and gentlemen, you do not need armies and planes and tanks and bombs and guns and nuclear weapons anymore to win wars. Now all you need is immigration. I mean, the Visigoths collapsed the Roman Empire, not through force of arms, but because they came down and ate out the guts of the empire, and the whole thing just collapsed. But that's just me. Anyway, and I'll get this book, you know, my book, Dark Prophet or Veil of the Antichrist, which is it's been out of print for a little while. I'll get that back into print very soon. All right, this week marks the 13th anniversary. This has been full forward because I'm running out of time. Marks the 13th anniversary of the September 11th, 2001 Nazionist terror attack. This is Ben Fulford speaking now. And subsequent fascist coup d'etat of the United States. Completely agree. U.S. acting president Barack Obama shows his true colors by the fact that he repeats thoroughly discredited Nazi Zionist lies, including those about that mass murder event. Obama himself admitted last week that he was an actor. In an interview with NBC, when asked about why he went directly to the golf course immediately after making a statement about the supposed death of American journalist James Foley. Yeah, I joke about that. I'd like to make this comment about the beheading. I'm beheading to the golf course. Quote, part of this job is also the theater of it. A part of it is, you know, how you are, not something that always comes naturally to me. And I'm not going to play the clip. You can go watch Meet the Press. However, there is a faction that is definitely going after Obama's Zionist script writers that will hopefully force Obama to read from a new plot line. The recent suspicious crash of Richard Vaccinate All Kids Under 5 Rockefeller's plane and the life-threatening injuries inflicted on 9/11 planner and former FBI boss Louis Free have been followed by another suspicious death. This time, the victim was Larry Glazier, whose plane had its oxygen supply cut off, a common form of sabotage. Glazier's family are co-owners of George Bush's Senior Zapata Oil and have worked with the Bushes for many years. Also, actress and comedian Joan Rivers died of complications from, quote, throat surgery, unquote, shortly after calling on everybody in Gaza to be wiped out in what is seen by many as either an attack on the Zionists or a fake death claim. What I'm saying, there are people out there claiming that maybe Joan Rivers was placed in a witness protection program. Let me point out that if you will notice all these famous deaths for whatever reason, now let me point this out, Joan Rivers, Robin Williams, John Panette, Tracy Morgan is still in a hospital. John Malvo, who was on Seinfeld for many years. He was, oh my goodness, he was the guy that always followed Seinfeld, Jimmy something. He's always the guy that was always following Seinfeld, and he would get all the good breaks for whatever because he would be on right before, right after Seinfeld or something. But he died in the car accident in which Tracy Morgan is still in the hospital. So these are all comedians. And people were asking me, why is it, do you think, that they're going after comedians? Let me also say, too, that we have the first president of the United States that not only condones assassination and murder, but has an assassination czar who basically hands him, literally, hands him a list every day of who he should kill. We've wiped out almost 2,000 people in Pakistan, a country we're not at war with that are supposed to be our friend, with drone strikes. And if you go all the way through investigative reporters like Andrew Breitbart, who was killed with some kind of microwave weapon, you go through the other reporter for Rolling Stone, whose car was monkeyed with in Hollywood, who was going to reveal a bunch of the Edward Snowden stuff. So we have a president that not only condones murder and assassination, but who says, quote, I'm pretty good at killing people, unquote. So don't put it past this president. We basically have the Chicago mob running this country, and they make the Clintons look like pikers, because now Barack Obama, because he is, quote, mixed race or black, is getting away with murder, literally. So many more are going to die before this is over, CIA sources say, continuing to Fulford. This is why the terrified Zionists are constantly screaming and threatening new terror attacks. The latest is from the Mossad-linked site Debeka. Now, Debeka is linked to the Mossad, which is linked to a company called Stratfor, and these are the people that supply Alex Jones with all of his stuff. So if you want to know why Alex Jones is so savagely pro-Israel, pro-war, pro all of the stuff, is because he gets all of his crap through Stratfor, through Mossad, through the Debeka files. Now, they're threatening dirty bomb attacks in the Middle East and a European city on the 9/11 anniversary, which is another reason why possibly all of this massive cyber attack stuff was going on this weekend. However, the smart people at Mossad know the gig is up, and that any attempt to blame a new attack by them on ISIS or Al-Qaeda or any other front will not divert the inevitable payback that would hit Israel. Meanwhile, the Zionist attack on the Ukraine is going badly. A Russian government source says, quote, the Ukraine is going broke. The army on their eastern front are defecting because of lack of food, ammunition, and pay. Their central government likewise is beginning to collapse because of lack of funding, he says. All Russian President Vladimir Putin has to do is wait, because winter is approaching and they will have no gas. And by the way, this is me talking now, they're not going to have any food either. So if you harken back to when V.I. Lenin starved 22 million Ukrainians to death in the 1920s, they haven't planted any food. They're the breadbasket for this entire area. When the winter comes and they don't have any heat and they don't have any gas and the Ukrainians start starving to death, you can pretty much bet they're going to – who are they going to call for help? Not the United States. They're going to ask the Russians. Anyway, so I can't get through this whole thing. Wow, time just goes too fast. I need a three-hour show. What do you say? Sean David Morton, thank you so much. Once again, to everybody that's listening, thank you all for being my friends. All is one. Life has purpose. God is love. That means we're all connected to each other. We're biologically connected to each other. We're chemically connected to the earth. We're atomically connected to the universe. Life has purpose. That means all things work together for good for them that love God. And, you know, the God is love. The prima mobile of the universe is for the greatest and highest good of everyone in that universe. It's a strange universe. That which doesn't kill us makes us stronger. Stay strange. I wouldn't be normal if I knew how. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Tune in on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon PST, and 8 p.m. in the UK for my weekly shows, Journeys Beyond, with myself, JP. I will be speaking to guests, taking call-ins, and speaking on many, many topics that revolve around the esoteric world behind the world that we see and hear. Tune in Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution.